الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد رب اشرح لي صدري يسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا انفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فتولى فرعون فجمع كيده ثم أتى قال لهم موسى ويلكم لا تفتروا على الله كذبا فيسحتكم بعذاب وقد خاب من افترى. فتنازعوا أمرهم بينهم وأسروا النجوى. قالوا إن هذان لساحران يريدان أن يخرجاكم من أرضكم بسحرهما ويذهبا بطريقتكم المثلى. فأجمعوا كيدكم ثم أتوا صفا وقد أفلح اليوم من استعلى. قالوا يا موسى إما أن تلقي وإما أن نكون أول من ألقى. قال بل ألقوا. فإذا حبالهم وعصيهم يخيل إليه من سحرهم أنها تسعى. فأوجس في نفسه خيفة موسى. قلنا لا تخف إنك أنت الأعلى. وألق ما في يمينك تلقف ما صنعوا. إنما صنعوا كيد ساحر ولا يفلح الساحر حيث أتى. فألقي السحرة سجدا. قالوا آمنا برب هارون وموسى. صدق الله العظيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to come together to continue on the beautiful story that is presented in Surah Taha about the story of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. And we want to, inshallah ta'ala, speak about today concerning the part of the Musa alayhi salam versus the magicians, the part where Musa alayhi salam actually battles with them. We've already spoken about, so far, about the beginning of the surah, which talks about again the idea of the surah being مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى. We did not reveal the Qur'an so you become distressed or to feel any type of misfortune. And then moving from there to Musa alayhi salam going to meet Allah Ta'ala on the mountain and how Allah alleviates his stress throughout the discussion that Allah Ta'ala has with Musa alayhi salam. And thereafter we spoke about how Musa alayhi salam he actually meets with Fir'aun, which was a very interesting section last time, where we noted that how Fir'aun tried to trick Musa alayhi salam in the discussions they had, how Musa alayhi salam was clever enough to give better responses. And then finally Fir'aun asked to, you know, when he showed him the miracles, Fir'aun finally found a way to capture Musa. He was like, oh, you're a magician like everyone else, it makes sense. Right? And so at that time we spoke about it, how beautiful the miracles of Allah Ta'ala are, that the hand and about the staff, and how they were they were designed for Fir'aun, right? The miracles were designed for the people in his courtroom to accept Islam, right? Because they were fitting the mold of these people, right? And so a lot of times, what happens in our lives, we think that the miracle that Allah gives us is not good enough. Rather, what we should understand is we should humble ourselves because the miracles perfectly fit for our lives and circumstances. So Allah made a beautiful miracle for Fir'aun to accept, but he didn't accept, right? And so then he challenged Musa alayhi salam. He said, "Pick any time, any place. I'll get you." And he assumed or he felt that Musa alayhi salam would pick like a very small place, maybe at the temple, here and there or something. Musa alayhi salam says, "I want the biggest day that you have. Yawm al-Zina. Pick the day when the Pharaoh he has his coronation, right? He becomes a Pharaoh again for the next year. I want that day." Right? And so Fir'aun, he heard it. So فَتَوَلَّى فِرْعَوْنُ فَجَمَعَ كَيْدُ ثُمَّ أَتَى. Right? That's the part that we're up to, ayah number 60. So what we're going to look at today is a beautiful examination about other people besides Fir'aun. Because Fir'aun, we already saw, he's not accepting, he's not looking towards the miracles of Allah to accept them. He's looking at them to reject them. Okay? But there are people on the other side who are fighting, quote-unquote, against Islam. But in reality, their hearts are very soft. So it's not correct for Muslims to paint everyone with a broad brush of evil. That these people are evil, this person's evil, this person's evil, this person's evil. Because many of the people that write against Islam end up accepting Islam. So what are you guys supposed to do? Right? So we get a chance to see that through this story today, which is the magicians, right? And we get to truly see what is the power of the miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What can they do? So Musa alayhi salam, through revelation, he tells Fir'aun, I want this day, this day, and this day. Right? And so that's what we're up to today. And mashallah, it's a enlightening discussion we're going to have. Really, it's amazing. Especially about the magicians, because we don't really get a bio of them. They don't get a biography of them. So all I had to do was just take my psychology and just study them psychologically. Right? That's the only way I could look at them, right? So I'll give you some insights, especially about the way they speak, the way they talk, the way they react, etc. Mashallah, it's a very, very like interesting thing when you look at it. So in any case, so Fir'aun, he gathers his resources. فَجَمَعَ كَيْدَهُ He gathered his plan, his entire plot, everything he was trying to do. And then ثُمَّتَ Then he came. What did he do in this time? Between the day of Opet, right, which was the day which the Pharaoh would be, he would be blessed by the gods again to be the ruler of the world or whatever again. So before that day, and between him meeting Musa alayhi salam for the first time and that day, he went to go find the finest magicians in the land, most skilled in their craft. He calls all the citizens of Egypt, you must come for this. This is before Pharaoh's, he goes inside the temple. So he wants everyone to witness this prior to him even finishing the ceremony, basically, right? And so he calls all the citizens of Egypt to come to attend this gathering, right? And so there is a lot of discussion about how many magicians came. Some people mention, and I'll give you like crazy numbers, right? I'm not talking about like small, I'm talking about big numbers, right? Like some people said like 70,000 magicians. I mean, I don't agree with it, you know, I'm just saying. Okay, but like some people said 72. Some people said 12, some people said like 3. You know, I'll give you like, there was a good amount of them, okay? There was a good amount that would intimidate Musa and Harun alayhim as-salam. It's good enough to show them that it's not just one boxer you're fighting, you got an army of boxers you have to get through. Right? This ring that you're in has many of them on the other side. So who do we have? An army of magicians on one side come. And on the other side, Musa alayhim Harun alayhim as-salam. There's no one else. The Bani Israel can't come out. They're too scared to come out. And it's too dangerous for them to come out. So Musa alayhi salam is there, and Harun alayhi salam is there, and the rest of the magicians are there. All the Sahirin are present. Okay? And so now you think that Musa alayhi salam, you know, again, Fir'aun is doing his scare tactic. For Muslims, right, living in America, a lot of the things that happen is what? The media will say something. Propaganda will say something. Oh, don't do this. Don't wear this. Don't walk like this. Don't talk like this. Don't do these things. Don't pray outside. Don't wear your hijab. Don't wear a topi on your head. Things like that. Oh, people will look at you different. You know, this type of scare tactic occurs, right? Because we get scared of what we see around us. So what did Fir'aun try to do? Literally, he tried to scare the heck out of Musa alayhi salam, Harun alayhi salam, that you guys are magicians too. So look how many magicians I have. You should be intimidated. Musa alayhi salam looks at the magicians. He looks at the magicians. Immediately he goes and says, قَالَ لَهُمْ مُوسَى وَيْلَكُمْ What's wrong with you all? He's so upset. He's so saddened. He's so frustrated with the magicians. لَا تَفْتَرُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا Don't make up a lie against Allah. He's calling them out. He's like, you guys are doing something completely fake. Pretending like there's more power. Is there any power besides Allah's power? There's no power besides Allah's power. How are you saying that there are other gods giving you power to make this magic? Don't make a lie on Allah. فَيُسْحِتَكُمْ بِعَذَابٍ Or else he will destroy you with a punishment. He's making it clear, even though there's like 70,000, whatever amount of people against him, Musa alayhi salam is making it profoundly clear to everyone there that I'm worried about these people. Because he's what? Musa alayhi salam is a prophet. It's not just about a debate. Like I mentioned this about this yesterday, last time too. It's not just about winning a debate. It's about this person's hidayah and guidance. Musa alayhi salam sadness and grief for these people to think that they can do shirk with Allah and get away with it. So Musa alayhi salam says, look, the true losers are the ones who fabricate a lie against Allah. He makes this clear, and I was stuck for a while. I was thinking like, why is this line in the Quran, like Musa alayhi salam yelling at them before the battle even starts, or telling them these things? One of the reasons that we talked about was because Fir'aun was trying to scare Musa alayhi salam, and you see the bravery and the courage of Musa alayhi salam from the inside. You also see number two that he's a prophet. He is worried about his people. Anyone around him, he's worried about their guidance. And the third reason, which is so interesting, is in reference to the magicians. Because the next ayah says what? فَتَنَازَعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ. So the magicians heard Musa alayhi salam talk to them, and then they started to debate amongst themselves. What? Right. You think that if someone was yelling at me prior to debate, I should shout back. If he called me a pusillanimous weasel, I should call him a weasel too. Right? I should shoot back. Right? If you call me a monkey, I'm going to call you a monkey. Right? You said, I'm going to be punished and destroyed. Well, my God's going to destroy you. Easy, 1, 2, 3, right? But then they start debating amongst themselves. What are they debating about? Right? So you find the Mufassirin and the commentators talk about it. And this is interesting. I just want to give you, again, because alhamdulillah, you guys are all awake right in the beginning of the bayan. So I can give you something interesting like this. Surah Al-Kahf has, يَتَنَازَعُونَ بَيْنَهُمْ أَمْرَهُمْ. And here's, فَتَنَازَعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ. Right? It's a flip. So I'll give you the easy translation. In Surah Al-Kahf, it says, between themselves, they disputed about the matter. Okay? Between themselves is the key word here. They disputed about the matter, the situation. And in Surah Taha, they disputed the matter itself between them. The matter itself was disputed. You see, the first word in Kaf is themselves. And the situation in Surah Taha is actually the matter, the situation. What is the difference here? You're like, well, what is this? What's the point, Mawlana? So, I'll tell you why. Because why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Kahf is making something really clear. When it came to the people of the cave, the matter was clear. What's the problem though? What was the problem? The people. So the people started making up all this stuff, fake stuff about, oh, these guys are like, they're like saints, or they're like, they're divine, they're this and that. They started to argue because the people themselves are corrupt. What about the magicians though? Are they corrupt? They're not. The matter itself is confusing for them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making us, in this surah, He's highlighting the situation was the issue. In Kaf, the people were the problem. In here, it's the situation itself. What are they confused about? They thought they were going to fight what? They came to battle who? Musa alayhi salam, who they thought was a magician. But now they're confused. Because no magician starts talking about lies and fabrication and God. Right? Have you ever seen any of these guys on stage start talking about God? Or anything like that? Have you seen any magician ever talk about these things? Have you ever seen any magician start to say that you'll be destroyed by the punishment? No, they're all here to do what? We're here to put on a show. I'm here to cut someone in half and pull a bunny out of my hat. That's what they thought they came for. And they're like, why is this guy not talking like a magician? And then another one's like, yeah, and we actually never seen him before. He's never been in any of our, he's never been to Hogwarts. He's not part of Dumbledore's team or Gryffindor or whatever. He's not part of anybody. I've never seen him before. You know, where is he coming from? He's not a Chris Angel guy. He's nobody. And then they're like, why is he talking about a punishment? Firaun is right there. You know, if he was a magician, right, he should be talking about Firaun. But he's talking about this other, and who is this Allah he just said? They are confused about the situation, and they're honest. Look at that. They didn't decide to shoot back at Musa alayhi salam. Rather, they're like, let's try to internalize what just happened here, guys. Let's figure out where we're at right now. And so they start arguing and debating. But eventually, obviously, you know, because no miracles have been shown yet. And they're like, let's come to an agreement. So they come together. And they make this all secret because they don't want Firaun to hear it, right? وَسَرُوا النَّجْوَى. They make it all secret. And so what we're learning from this, before we continue to their answer, that the character of the magicians is sound. When Musa alayhi salam just said one line to them, they made fikr, they thought about it for such a long time. To the point they didn't even start the battle until they figured this out. These are not just evil people. These are people that have sound hearts. They're good people. They've just been walked in the wrong way. And many times, a lot of Americans around us, or I won't call Americans, just a lot of non-Muslims around us are just in the same way. We don't want to paint them with a very broad brush and say that all of them are evil. La ilaha illallah. Rather, some of them just have a misguided way. They just haven't been taught yet. But if you teach them the right way, what's going to happen? They'll come to the right way. So these people are good. They listen to Musa alayhi salam. They're not like Firaun, who tried to dodge every question and fight him and stuff. But the magicians obviously are still in the corrupt way. So what do they say? They come out of the small little team huddle. They come out and say, قَالُوا إِنْ هَذَانِ لَسَاحِرَانِ يُرِيدَانِ أَيُخْرِجَاكُمْ مِنْ أَرْضِكُمْ بِسِحْرِهِمَا وَيَذْهَبَ بِطَرِيقَتِكُمُ الْمُثْلَى. So now they have to put on a show, right? So they tell everybody, these are surely magicians, two magicians, who both wish to drive you all out of your land, and then they turn to each other, وَيَذْهَبَا بِطَرِيقَتِكُمُ الْمُثْلَى. And your exemplary way, the way of the magicians, they want to take all of it away from you. So they're telling the people of Egypt, that, oh, people of Egypt, these guys are surely magicians like everybody else, and, you know, they're trying to take us away, and trying to take away our power, the power that we have. And so they are pushing this type of agenda in front of the people. فَأَجْمِعُوا كَيْدَكُمْ. So then they talk to each other. They said, make your plot firm, right? Make your matter firm. Sorry, one second, let me just make sure everything is muted. Okay. فَأَجْمِعُوا كَيْدَكُمْ ثُمَّ تُصَفَّى. So they talk to each other. The magicians say to one another, they say, that all of you, get your plot together, get your act together, get everything together. ثُمَّ تُصَفَّى. Come in one single row. All the 70,000, let's just say, all of them in one row. Lined up against whom? Musa alayhi salam. All you line up in one row. وَقَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْيَوْمَ مَنِ اسْتَعْلَى. And Allah Ta'ala ends the speech of the magicians with this one word. Successful today is the one who seeks to be lofty, who seeks to get height. The magicians again are honest people. What do they want? What does Allah Ta'ala quote them as wanting? They just want a position next to Fir'aun. That's all they wanted. They just want to get some high position in the world. That's all they want. They're very, again, simple people. I wouldn't call them like crafty or like wicked people. I would call them just people that are just looking to make good in dunya. Right? They just thought that the best place in life would be a position next to Fir'aun. They're like, if that's the highest place that we can get, let's get it. Right? And a lot of times, Muslims too, right? Muslims come to America and we all like, oh, this guy, he doesn't pray, what a bad guy. He doesn't come for fajr, what a, this and that. We start cursing them and calling them all these bad names. But in reality, what happens is people are just after dunya because they think that's the highest thing out there. If you were to tell them, hey brother, I know you're living in a Lord Baron apartment, mashallah, you think you got it big, mashallah, you know? Alhamdulillah, you got two bedrooms, one bathroom, subhanallah, Allah Akbar, great. I promise you in Jannah, there are no bathrooms because you don't need one. And I promise you millions and billions of rooms. You'll never be able to finish a single room. It'll take you thousands of years to just finish one room. The guy would be like, really? I'd be like, yeah. Just make sure when you pass, la ilaha illallah, you gotta go with. And mashallah, you can get it. He's like, wow, will I have a wife that complains? Nah, you're good to go, man. Alhamdulillah. So mashallah, he'll do it. He'll start to change. You know, people will feel encouraged. And slowly the hidayah will come. You know, give people time. So similarly here, the magicians are just looking for a high spot. That's all they want. Man ista'la. They're seeking to be big, you know. So they go and say, look, it's a show. So we have to show everyone how mighty we are, right? This is an event to the magicians. So they go and say to Musa alayhi salam, قَالُوا يَا مُوسَى. And I just want you to feel what they say, how they say it. How Allah records their statement. قَالُوا يَا مُوسَى إِمَّا أَن تُلْقِيَ. O Musa, either you throw, right? Either you throw. وَإِمَّا أَن نَكُونَ أَوَّلَ مَنْ أَلْقَى. Have you ever been with a kid who's like, you go to a water park, right? And he's like, Molana, you can go first. But like, if I could get to go first, it'd be really great. But you can go first. Right? If I go first, wouldn't it look so bad? Because I know the way he's talking, Musa, the nice way to say it, easy way is what? Imma antulqiya. Musa, either you throw, imma antulqiya, or we throw. They're like, Musa, either you throw, or we will be the first ones from those who will throw. And so obviously Musa alayhi salam knows, bicharas want to go first. Okay, so no problem. You know, again, like you can see that they're not wicked or evil. They're just doing what they thought it was the right thing to do. They're just good people at the end of the day. And I want to make that clear because we call them magicians because that's their title, but they're nothing like that. They're like the good guys. You know, magicians are really bad people. Sahirin. I'm not talking about like Chris Angel. He's totally fake. You know, but like proper magicians, like, you know, the Tamiz magicians, you know, those not good guys. They're not like that. Okay, so they say, Musa, either you throw or we'll be the first ones from those who will throw. So, mashallah, you know, subhanAllah, they have such adab. And I know people be like, oh, but Mawlana, they're faking the adab. Right? Because it's just to put on a show at the end of the day. But Allah Ta'ala even likes the faking of adab. You know that? When people just show adab on the outside, even Allah Ta'ala loves that. Especially with their prophets. Right? When Allah Ta'ala saw, for example, when the Prophet ﷺ was badly injured from Taif, right? The Prophet ﷺ, he starts to climb up to a wall, right? And he's so exhausted and tired. And the enemies of Islam are there. And so they're looking at the Prophet ﷺ being injured. There were two, I forgot the two names of the two people there, but they were cousins or brothers. And they basically told one of the servants, hey, go give him a plate of grapes and feed him. Because look, he's bloodied. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was bloody from head to toe. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so I think the slave's name was Addas, right? And then they tell him to go with the grapes. And then the Prophet, he brings the grapes to the Prophet ﷺ. And check this out. When the Prophet ﷺ starts about to eat the grape, he says what? Bismillah, right? And by him saying Bismillah, Addas goes and says, where do you learn Bismillah from? Right? He's like, well, you know, he's like, my Lord taught me, right? And he said, where are you from? He's like, where do you hear from Bismillah from? And he's like, I heard it from this the place of Nineveh, or the place, Nineveh. And the Prophet ﷺ goes and tells him, oh, that's the place of my brother Yunus ibn Matta. My brother Yunus ﷺ. He's like, you know Yunus ﷺ? Yeah, he's a prophet like I'm a prophet. And Adas accepts Islam. You know, like just having adab with people, Allah will give you great things. Now I know people are like, always we have to be rude and rough and tough. No. Have adab all the time, even if you're faking it. A lot of people infuriate us. Really, they do. But why? Because we love them for the sake of Allah, we just be nice. And we can do that, right? You can fake it, smile, right? We can make it a little crooked, but just smile. And so, mashallah, they go and be, they're mu'addab with Musa alayhi salam. Okay? And so, Musa alayhi salam goes and says, قَالَ بَلْ أَلْقُوا. You guys throw. Rather, you guys throw. Okay? So they're like, alright. They load everything up, they get their staffs out, they get the ropes out, right? All of them lined up in one row, getting ready, and each one of them starts to throw it down. One after the other, one after the other, one after the other. فَإِذَا حِبَادُهُمْ. And while they're throwing, وَعِصِيُّهُمْ. When their ropes and their sticks, يُخَيَّرُ إِلَيْهِ. They start to turn into snakes from their hands. Right? As soon as they start to throw, all the snakes start to come out. It's extremely convincing. Extremely convincing. How convincing is it? يُخَيَّرُ إِلَيْهِ. It was made to seem to, not to them, to meaning the crowd, but ilayhi to him. To who? Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam was looking at the magic and he knows his magic. But his eyes, his heart is telling him it's magic. His mind is telling him it's magic. But his eyes are telling him it's real. That's how convincing it was. He came there knowing they're fake. But his eyes are telling him it's totally real. Why is that mentioned? Why is that important? Because as if they were running, as if they were slithering, as if they were moving. All the snakes are coming before his eyes like this. فَأَوْجَسَ فِي نَفْسِهِ خِيفَةً مُوسَى. Right, this is the next ayah. At this moment, when Musa alayhi salam is at the top of the world, really, in terms of hidayah, there's no one greater than him in the sense of hidayah. He's the Prophet of Allah, Rasulullah alayhi salam, at this time, right? He's the Messenger of Allah. Okay? At this moment, at the top of the world in guidance, what does Allah tell us about Musa alayhi salam? Right into his heart. You get an examination into his heart. فَأَوْجَسَ فِي نَفْسِهِ خِيفَةً مُوسَى. There was a sense of fear within Musa alayhi salam. A sense of fear. He was scared. He was worried. What was he worried about? So Mufassirin are kind of like on two groups here. Mufassirin, some of them said that Musa alayhi salam was scared because he saw another snake like the first snake that he saw. Now I don't know about you guys. I'm not really convinced about that one. Okay. What is the second interpretation? The second interpretation by Muqatil Rahimullah, he said that Musa alayhi salam was scared because if it's convincing him, who can it convince? Everyone around him. If I came in knowing this is fake, and awjasa, and it starts to come into my heart that, you know, I came in knowing it's fake, but my eyes are telling me it's real, but my iman is there, so I'm seeing it in the right way, the people around me are not going to see it like that. They're going to be totally convinced this is real. So you start to get worried, and it happens. I want to make this clear, it happens. Wajas, fa'awjasa. Wajas is a thought in your mind that comes out when there was complete quiet. Everything was fine. And suddenly this thought comes out of nowhere, this idea comes out of nowhere. And you have no idea what to do with it. It hits you like a truck. Khifatan is made in the nakira, right? It's with the alif lam. And that would mean that something which is adabun adim, a huge thing, right? Khifatan, a huge fear came into Musa alayhi salam's heart. What am I going to do? The people are going to get misguided by this. He's so worried now. He's like, I came with a miracle, but how can this? Will this miracle actually stand? Will I actually be able to tackle them? Will I actually be able to conquer them? What do I do? Maybe I shouldn't have let them go first. Maybe I should be like, sorry, little boy, I'm going on the water slide first. No, he felt, you know, all these thoughts, these ideas start to come into your mind. Regret, this, all this concern. It happens. I want to make it clear. It happens to everybody. It happens to everybody. This is the time to show. And that moment when you get up for the khutbah and the mimbar, like, oh, now the knees start shaking. Why now? You know, like, why didn't it shake like 2 days ago when I was preparing it? It just happens. Allah SWT is telling us it will happen. It's fine. It's fine. How does Allah conquer it? It's natural to be scared. Completely fine to be scared. Okay? And what does Allah say? قُلْنَا لَا تَخَفْ. Don't be scared. How many times has this been Allah has told him not to be scared? At least four, I think we're counting, right? At least four times Musa said, I'm scared, I'm scared, I'm scared. And Allah's like, don't be scared, don't be scared, don't be scared. And fear is natural.
Fear happens. It's all part of life. What, you're scared, man? I remember, mashallah, one time we were at the Canadian border, going up to Canada, and you guys know what a tiffin is? Like, you know, like those lunchbox. Yeah, the tiffin, we call them tiffin, right? You stackable, right? But it's like metal, right? It's like steel. And so when you look at it, a person who doesn't know what it is, because we know it's a lunchbox, right? You show it to anyone in the world, like, what is that? Why are Muslims carrying that? Like, it looks like a time bomb. You know, like, it looks like it's very, very scary. Allah to protect us, right? But obviously, it's not that, right? So when we got stopped at the Canadian border, they decided to check our car. My dad was wearing his topi out in the front, mashallah, very, very pious. And he was talking all this big stuff. He was saying that, like, you know, I'm a, alhamdulillah, like, I really fear Allah and everything, I taqwa of Allah and everything like that. And I felt like, and now thinking about it, I felt like Allah was testing him, right? So then they start to check, they open up the trunk, and they see what's in there? The tiffin, right? The guy, I kid you not, like, wallahi, he picks it up, and he's like, puts it like this, and puts it like, he's like, and he throws it back in there, he's like, he thought it was going to go off or something, right? And at that moment, my dad takes off his topi, right? And then, you know, subhanAllah, he doesn't put it back his hat for like the entire time they're checking, and then alhamdulillah, they let us go. And they were like, what happened to your taqwa? That's what fear happens. Fear happens. It's part of life that people will get scared. You follow Allah's command, sometimes it will happen where you feel a little nervous. You don't know what to say. Outside, you're like, oh my God, people are looking at me. And all this fear happens. It's natural. Allah tells you every single time, لا تخف, don't be sad, don't be afraid. So Musa is told by Allah, إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْأَعْلَى. You are superior. You are the greatest. It literally says you are the greatest, right? You are the highest. No one's above you right now, Musa. You are on top of the world like I made you. You have been made for this, Musa. Just calmly go, and Allah that gives them straight up command, أَلْقِ مَا فِي يَمِينِكَ. Throw what is in your hand. تَلْقَفْ مَا صَنَعُوا. It will devour what they have made. Okay, it will devour what they have made. إِنَّمَا صَنَعُوا كَيْدُ سَاحِرٍ. What they have made is only the slight hand of a magician. Allah is making it clear for him that it is just a trick of the eyes. There's nothing else being done. The smoke and mirrors. You thought the guy was actually flying? Come on, Bichara, come on. Nothing. No, he wasn't flying. Where do you think the rabbit was coming from? You thought the rabbit came out of nowhere? No, there was clearly a hole. Right? And like, how do you saw an half? Obviously there was just, you know, there's one fake body, one light, real body. It's all the smoke and mirrors. None of this stuff is real. None of this stuff is real. Some of them will start to use jinns because they start to get a bit more crafty, and I'm not going to mention the magician's name, we'll probably use jinns and stuff. But it's there. Right? Sheikh Hassan Ali, he said that one guy was doing a card trick. He was a magician and going around tables doing a card trick. And he was sitting at one of the tables, and the guy was fooling everybody. And it seemed like it wasn't just sleight of hand, you know, just like hiding a card in here or something. So he was like, it looks like this guy's actually performing actual magic, you know, with like jinns or whatever. So what does he do? He said that he decided to do a technique that my shuyukh have taught me. He said it. He said that I read falak in my right hand, and I put my thumb inside my palm, and then I closed it, right? So I read falak, I blew on it, I blew it into my right hand, and I closed my thumb. And he said, then I read surah Nas on my left hand, and I blew on it, on my thumb, and I closed it too. So he said, I just held it there underneath the table. So I waited for the guy to come to my table and do the card trick, right? And he said that every single time the guy tried to do the card trick, he couldn't do it. Right? Because, so what I'm trying to say here is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't be scared, Musa, throw what you got. They're only doing a magician's trick. وَلَا يُفْلِحُ السَّاحِرُ حَيْثُ أَتَى. The magician will never succeed wherever he comes from. Wherever a magician comes from, he'll never succeed. Why am I mentioning all this stuff about magic and stuff? You might be wondering, like, why is Mawlana spending so much time on this magic stuff? Because magic exists, it's haqq. It's reality. And people often are afflicted by it. May Allah save us and protect us and give us afia. Never try us with this thing. It's hard. It's difficult. For everyone who goes through it, it's very difficult. But I just want to let you know it happens. وَلَا يُفْلِحُ السَّاحِرُ حَيْثُ أَتَى. But the magician will never find success wherever he goes. If you bring the Quran to him, if you bring the deen to him, if you read your Quran, you do your tilawa, do your ibadah, eventually the magic will lift. I've never seen and I mentioned this multiple times, I've never seen any magician's power, or quote-unquote power, have any effect over Surah Baqarah. Never. Never. I've seen anyone who's recited Surah Baqarah regularly or daily or kept it played, they have nothing they can do against them. You have the haqq in front of you. You have the deen in front of you. Don't be scared. Even though it looks terrifying, it looks scary, it looks frightening. لَا تَخَفْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلَىٰ. Don't be scared, you'll be successful, you'll be the highest. You'll do it. Just keep reading your Quran. Eventually, it will let up. But you have to be consistent and regular. May Allah give us tawfiq and guidance. We're learning this from Musa alayhi salam's story. Right? Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Did they try to do magic on him? And how did he get through it? Falaq al-Nas. He managed to get through it. So now the snake comes out. So Musa alayhi salam hears the command. And Allah doesn't tell you if Musa alayhi salam does it or not. Because what do you know? When Musa alayhi salam told the command, as a prophet, he must do it instantly. So he does it. As soon as Allah said throw it, he already threw it. Right? And what is the snake doing now? It's slithering. It's not a small snake again. It's a python. It's an anaconda. It's slithering around, devouring one of their snakes, to all the 70 or 70,000, or Allahu A'lam knows how many magicians were there. All the Christ angels were all devoured. He finishes all of them. إِنَّمَا صَنَوْا كَيْدُ sahir. It's only this light hand of a magician. And the magicians, after seeing this, they don't start thinking. They still start reflecting. When they see all their snakes getting devoured, what do they do? فَأُلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سُجَّدًا. They go instantly into sujood. Instantly into sujood. Okay, and I'll break down what happened to them in their minds. Okay, they go instantly into sujood, and they say, أَمَنَّا بِرَبِّ هَارُونَ وَمُوسَى. They say, we believe in the Lord of Harun and Musa alayhi salam. Why did that happen? Because they're magicians, right? And they know how to trick people's eyes. And again, our books mention like certain things about how the sun, you know, in terms of its direction and how to play with the shadows and the mirrors, etc. And how exactly they made their snakes look like they were moving, right? But, you know, a magician, when he has this, when he takes the bunny out of the hat, the bunny is there and the hat is there, okay? The bunny is there and the hat is there. But what Musa Isim just did in front of them was he took the bunny and the hat and they have no idea where it went. And it's gone. It's gone. Some people said that it's the snakes, their staffs and their ropes started to evaporate or like, you know, disintegrate before their eyes. They start to basically melt in front of them, and they're like, this is no longer like a magic trick. They knew all the ways of magic. He didn't bring the low level magicians. He brought the highest magicians, the ones who excelled in their craft. He brought all of them in front of Musa alayhi salam. And in front of these people, they're seeing it in front of them and saying, this is not magic. This is not something that would happen, that what we are normally accustomed to or used to. This is exactly what happened to Labid radiallahu anhu. Labid was a famous poet at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he used to have one of the famous poems that were hung on the Kaaba, the Sab'ul Mu'allaqat, right? They were called the famous hung poems. They used to put them on the wall. You couldn't get there unless you had a really good poem. Labid was so good that at the poetry festivals, people used to make sajda to him because of his poetry. So they asked Labid at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, oh Labid, you're so good at poetry. This is poetry like your poetry. Make something. So then he does it. He crafts a fantastic, phenomenal poem. And he hangs it on the wall of the Kaaba, because that's basically what you do, right? You place it where everyone can see it. So Labid does so. He puts it there, and then he waits for the challenge. So one Sahabi comes with like a really short surah, like Kausar or like Asr or Feel or something like that. Very small surah. He puts it right next to Labid's poem, right next to Labid's poem. Labid comes like the next day to see who's challenged his poem, and he sees it right next to his. This small little surah, okie dokie, aradokie, for us is like not a big deal, we finish it so quick, right? He reads it, he tears down his poem, goes straight to the Prophet and says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah Muhammadur Rasulullah. The same way about these magicians, realizing that this is not magic. Labid was like, guys, this is not poetry. This is not poetry. Umar actually told Labid later on, he said that we want you to recite some poem, some poetry for us. And Labid goes and says, what can I recite to you after the Quran was revealed? There's nothing good enough. Nothing good enough. So now, how are the magicians lined up again? In a single row, right? What do they look like they're doing right now? Such then, like what? In Salah. And who's their Imam? Musa alayhi salam. Allahu Akbar, right? It's an amazing scenario Allah Ta'ala made. They decided to line up because they thought it looked impressive. Allah Ta'ala made it as a means of hidayah for everyone. So they go and say, we believe in the Lord of Harun and Musa. And many times people wonder, like, why did Allah the flip here, Musa and Harun there? And he says, Rabbi Haruna wa Musa, Rabbi Musa wa Harun, right? Over here, it's just interesting because I just found it. Because you know the entire discussion. Musa asked for his brother to become a Nabi, right? So this kind of makes it clear that he's a Nabi, right? That's number one. Second thing is that the Rabb of Musa, you can interpret Rabbi Musa to be the one who took care of Musa, right? The caretaker of Musa. Who's also the caretaker of Musa? Other than Allah, of course. Rabbi Musa can also be whom? Firaun. So Allah made it, the magician made it clear, Rabbi Harun. then Fir'aun's like, that's not me. Right? Because if he said Rabbi Musa, then that would have been a difference there, right? Allah Ta'ala knows best, of course. But there's interesting things. Ikrimah rahimahullah ta'ala said, when the magicians went for sajda, they saw their places in Jannah. They saw their places in Jannah. They were presented that gift from Allah Ta'ala because they were the first believers of Musa alayhi salam. There were no other believers with him other than Bani Israel, because they were just already believers in whatever prophets came. And so the first believers from another area, another people, are the magicians. These are the magicians. So Allah Ta'ala gave them that ni'mah, that when they went for sajda, they did this. And the reason why Ikrimah rahimahullah ta'ala said something like this is probably because what they're about to do next is going to blow all of our minds. It's absolutely extraordinary. Because why? Because now they say that we believe in the Lord of Harun and Musa. And now Fir'aun is listening and saying, قَالَ آمَنْتُمْ لَهُ قَبْلَ أَنْ آذَنَ لَكُمْ. You believe in him. So all the translators have said you believe in him. If you say آمَنْتُ بِهِ, right? I believe in him. That's bihi, right? آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ. We say I believe بِاللَّهِ, in Allah, right? I believe in Allah. آمَنْتُ لَهُ is totally different. Right, Allah didn't use bihi here, he used lahu. It's totally different. How is it different? So I can say I believe in Allah, and la means for, or because. So it's not I believe in him. You believe because of him. Because of who he is. Right? So Fir'aun starts it off like this. Because Fir'aun is listening to this. What is going through the mind of Fir'aun right now? I made this festival. I made this event. I called these guys. I brought all of them here. I supplied them, I provided for them, I brought all the people here. And now these people are saying what? We believe in the Lord of Musa and Harun? He is infuriated right now. And he needs to control the situation. Because right now if he doesn't control it, what's going to happen? Everyone's going to believe. Because he brought the magicians for the purpose to follow him. And they're all going to follow Musa at the end. He is bugging out. So he starts it off, he says, you believe because of him. Before I permitted you to believe in him. And then he goes and says, why did you believe because of him? إِنَّهُ لَكَبِيرُكُمْ. He's your master. I see. All of you started this scheme beforehand that you want to take the entire kingdom of Egypt. So what did you do? You made sure Musa was your master, so you told your master Musa to do this type of magic and he would defeat our magic. عَلَّمَكُمُ السِّحْرِ. He's such a big magician that he taught you how to do your magic. Okay? And so, like I mentioned before, the difference between believing in Allah and because of him. And so you only believe because he's a teacher. Fir'aun is immediately telling everyone around him that what you just saw before your eyes wasn't a real sign or a miracle or whatever. It was just a trick of magicians playing with each other. You know when you have two magicians on stage? Yeah, so one of them can steal the hat of the other one, right? Or the bunny of the other one. Because why? They're both magicians and they're all putting on a show. Fir'aun's like, this is just a big show, everybody. It's completely fraud. It's completely fake. إِنَّوْ لَكَبِيرُكُمُ الَّذِي عَلَّمَكُ السِّحْرِ. So he goes and says, now that you've lied to me, magicians, you faked it in front of me. He says, لَوْقَطِّعَنَّ أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَرْجُلَكُمْ. I'm going to cut off your hands and legs. مِنْ خِلَافٍ. From opposite sides. I'm going to cut off the right arm of all of you and the left leg the other one. I'm going to humiliate you. وَلَأُصَلِّبَنَّكُمْ. And I'm going to crucify you. فِي جُزُوعِ النَّخْلِ. Right? In the trunks of palm trees. When you say فِي جُزُوعِ النَّخْلِ, is different from عَلَى. When you said on the tree trunks, Allah didn't say on the tree trunks. Fir'aun didn't say on the tree trunks. He said inside the tree trunks. When you do that in Arabic, what that benefit is this, is that if you say ala, it means it's going to be taken off really quick. Okay? When you say fi, it's as if it's part of it. It's never coming off. He said, I'm going to leave you there till the days of Fir'aun end. You're never coming off of that crucifix. You're never going to come off of that cross. I'm going to keep you on there till the day that Fir'aun is dead. You're never getting off of it. He said, I'm going to cut off your arms and legs. And I'm going to crucify you. فِي جُزُوعِ النَّخْلِ. Inside the trunks of palm trees. You're never getting off of there. وَلَا تَعْلَمُنَّ. And you will really know. أَيُّنَا. You're scared of your teacher, Musa. He might punish you. He said, you'll know whose punishment is more أَشَدُّ وَأَبَقَى. Who's more severe and ever more lasting. You're going to see how much we can torture you. I won't. Fir'aun is saying, I'm not going to let you die. You're going to be there for a while. You're going to suffer and burn and feel the heat of Egypt, of the Egyptian heat, the Egyptian sun. He's going to burn them and hurt them and inflict so much torture and pain on them and leave them as a humiliation for everyone to see. Okay? This amount of fear and terror for anybody, even a Muslim who's been a Muslim for 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, is this easy for anybody? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's terrifying to even think about that someone would even threaten you like this. They had no time to prepare. They are Sahaba, right? We all agree they're Sahaba of Musa alayhi salam. But they haven't even had a chance to sit with Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Have they had any ta'aleem? Any education? Any madrasa, any maktab, anything? They've just literally accepted Islam, made one sajda for Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to test them. In what way? That at this moment, I wouldn't blame them.
One second, sorry. Don't know how to mute everybody. Mute all. Okay. Just one second, I'm sorry guys. Okay, I don't know. Okay. Just don't want something embarrassing happening and then everyone gets embarrassed, because I would be embarrassed first before everybody. Okay, so here's the thing. At this moment, I wouldn't blame them. And I wouldn't blame anybody. At that moment, you might get scared. Like, you know what, let me retake my shahada. I'll just say I'm not a Muslim right now, so I don't get crucified and killed. And Musa, I'll come to you a bit later, we'll hang out later tonight, and then I'll take Shahada again. Right? That's definitely an option, right? They could literally just tell Firaun, Firaun, yeah, we believe in you, you're the God, and everything, oh, and then they go back later on. And this is actually, when someone's threatening your life in Islam, you're allowed to take the words of kufr on your tongue, right? You can say the words of disbelief on your tongue if someone's threatening your life to protect your life. It's in the ayah of the Quran, Surah An-Nahl. Completely fine, right? At that moment, right? But what were they looking at? Were they looking at, you know, just, okay, I just need to get by. You know, I just want to get away with like the low minimum, bare minimum stuff. What were they looking at? They're looking at, what is Allah telling us right now? What is Allah testing us with? What is Allah testing them, guys? What is Allah testing? What is Allah looking for? He's looking at their sincerity, the ikhlas. How sincere are you? How true are you? You're the first followers of Musa'ism. Congratulations. Now this is what it requires. Congratulations, Abu Bakr. Congratulations, Ali. Congratulations, Bala. Congratulations, Khadija. Congratulations, Fatima and Zainab and Umm Kulthum and Ruqayya radiallahu anhum. May Allah be pleased with all of them. Congratulations, you're the first believers. Now get ready for what it has to come up with. In Makkah, the Sahaba are scared and worried and nervous, right? That people are dying. Sumayya radiallahu anhum became a martyr. You know? Like, she was killed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? People are dying. You know, Bilal is being tortured. Khabbab is being tortured. All this stuff is happening. Well, congratulations, you are the first followers of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not going to come without some testing, some sacrifice. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them, the Nabi alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba, you guys weren't the only ones who were tested. Who was tested way back before you? The magicians of Musa alayhi wa sallam. They were tested. Look at their response. Look at what they said. And be proud of them. As believers, we are so proud of them. They go and say, قَالُوا لَن نُؤْثِرَكَ عَلَى مَا جَاءَنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالَّذِي فَطَرَنَا. We will never give you preference, Fir'aun. We will never prefer you from the clear signs that we just saw. وَالَّذِي فَطَرَنَا. And over him who created us. You think we're going to choose you, Fir'aun? After we just saw it with our eyes. These are the first believers in Musa alayhi salam. Such great sahaba he had. Who do you think are being put to shame or a little bit of embarrassment? The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sahaba. Allah is telling him, you guys have a really high maqam. But remember, it's not going to come without a little bit of testing. I tested the companions of Musa alayhi salam, and look how good they did. Fantastic job, right? We look at them like, I know they could have just said, Musa, I'll meet you later and take shahada. But that wouldn't have been as cool, right? Allah shows you that, look how good they were. Look how beautiful they were. That when the signs of Allah came, we saw it with our eyes. They're telling Fir'aun, we saw it with our eyes. What showed us the miracle just happened. You want us to deny that? You want to deny what we feel? You want to deny our hearts? You want to deny our iman? You want us to deny it? We're not denying anything. Right? And that same Allah, they understood this. That Allah that made that staff into a snake. That same Allah is the one who created us from nothing. وَالَّذِي فَطَرَنَا. He created us from nothing. They understood it. Look, if you're telling us to reject Allah now, we're not rejecting Him. Because we know this Allah is very, very kind. He was so kind that we, rotten, despicable, ugly, dirty magicians who came against their Prophet, He gave us hidayah and guidance. They understood this completely, that this Lord is not an evil Lord. He's not an angry Lord. He's not a rude Lord. He's a kind, loving, beloved, Rahman and Rahim Allah. They understood that. So they said, فَقْضِي مَا أَنْتَ قَالَ. You go and decide whatever you want, Fir'aun. Go ahead. You want to crucify us? You want to cut off all the limbs? You want to put us there? Go ahead. إِنَّمَا تَقْضِي. And they threatened him. إِنَّمَا تَقْضِي هَذِي الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. You only decide in this dunya. You only decide in the worldly life. That's all you have control of, Fir'aun. That's all you have.
They say, go and say, "Inna amanna bi Rabbina." We believe in our Lord. لِيَغْفِرَ لَنَا خَطَايَانَا, so He can forgive us for our sins. وَمَا أَكْرَهْتَنَا, and what You forced us, عَلَيْهِ مِنَ السِّحْرِ, from the magic that we have done, it's all because of You. They're telling Fir'aun, it's all Your fault. And whatever You forced us to do, it, we're seeking forgiveness in Allah Ta'ala from these things. Okay? And the last couple of ayat, just cover inshaAllah in the last couple of minutes. وَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبَقَى. They say, Allah Ta'ala is the best. I love that so much. Wallahu khayr. Allah Ta'ala is the best. Wa abaqa. Khayr meaning all good, right? When you say it without comparing it with something, right? In Arabic you can compare, right? You can say, this person's khayrun min hadha. He's better than this, right? When you say Allahu khayr, Allah is the best. There's nothing greater than Allah. There's nothing better than Allah. There's nothing, anything close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa abaqa. And Fir'aun, you're going to die one day. No matter how great you think you are, you're going to become the Pharaoh again and again and again. No problem. One day, what's going to happen? You're going to die. Wa abaqa. My Allah, does He die? My Allah, does He vanish? My Allah, does He disappear? My Allah stays. Khayrun wa abaqa. He's the best and He always stays. Innahu. And then they go and tell Fir'aun, innahu ma ya'ti rabbahum mujrima. After you die, where are you going to go? Ya'ti rabbahu. He's going to go to his Lord. Mujrima. And they're telling him a clear thing. Fir'aun, whoever dies as a criminal, whoever meets his Lord as a criminal, fa'innahu jahannam. Who are they telling this to? To Fir'aun. What's he going to have? Jahannam. La yamutu fiha wa la yahya. There's no dying in Jahannam and no living. They go tell Fir'aun, no problem, put us on a cross and crucify us, whatever. We're going to die eventually. But in Jahannam, will you die? Death will come from every angle, you'll never die. Wa la yahya, and you'll never live in Jahannam. Jahannam is a place you're like, not living or dying. What does that mean? What are you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the life of Jahannam is not a life at all. Would anyone call what's Jahannam a life? That's not a life. That's nothing beneficial. There's nothing in there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it very beautifully on the tongues of the magicians. They go, Fir'aun, if you die and you go like this, Jahannam, la yamutu fiha wa la yahya, wa ma ya'tihi mu'mina. But then they go and say, but Fir'aun, on the flip side, whoever comes to Allah as a believer, قَدْ عَمِلَ الصَّالِحَاتِ, and has done good deeds, فَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الدَّرَجَاتُ الْعُلَىٰ. What did they first come there for? They came there because they want a high rank next to Fir'aun. So now they're thinking about, hey, Fir'aun's actually not the biggest lord out there. Who's the bigger lord? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with Allah, there's a bigger place called Jannah. And with Jannah, there are higher ranks. So they go and say, فَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الدَّرَجَاتُ الْعُلَىٰ. With Allah, there are even higher ranks. Even better places. Even more magnificent places. Even better palaces. Everything is better in Jannah. What they wanted in the first place, Allah Ta'ala says they'll get. Jannatu Adin. Adin is usually the name of, we say the Garden of Eden, right? Adin also in Arabic means a place that lasts forever. You're going to kill us, we'll have a temporary life here, temporary existence. At the end of the day, our life will go. No one's going to live here forever. Fir'aun, you're not going to live here forever. Your palaces will one day vanish. The pyramids will one day vanish. Everything will vanish. But Jannah will last forever. Jannatu Adin, tajri min tahtiha al-anhar, which rivers flow underneath it. Khalidina fiha, in which they will live forever. وَذَلِكِ جَزَاءُ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. And that is the reward of the one who tries to purify himself. Tazakka in Arabic, my last final point about this one ayah, and we're basically done. Tazakki is basically you're trying to purify, not you got purified. That's zakka. When you purified something, it's zakkaha, right? You purified it. Tazakka is like you're trying every day to purify yourself. Every day making a little bit of effort, like ta'allam, right? You're like learning, trying to learn a little bit every single day. Tazakka, every day you're trying to do a little bit more tazkiyah. All right, I'm going to try to sit down to my dhikr today. You know, today Mawlana Sahib told me to do 10-15 minutes, I'll do it. And then the next day you fall asleep. Next day you look like a wali because you sat down trying to do your dhikr, you look like you fell asleep in front of everybody. So now, mashallah, everyone thought you were in like some super high level meditation, but you actually just fell asleep, right? Mashallah, you sat in the bayan for 45 something minutes while Mawlana Sahib was rambling, and you just fell asleep. People are like, wow, what a wali of Allah. He was listening with his ears, and his heart was connected to Allah. Allahu Akbar, you know? Tazakki, you're trying. You're trying. Allah said that the high places in Jannah are not reserved for those people who purified. It's those people who tried every day to make it work. That I try every day to make fajr. I try every day to wear my hijab. I try my day, you know, mashallah, I want to wear the sunnah. I want to walk outside, wear the sunnah. I'm trying. And every day you try, Allah says, mashallah, congratulations. Darajatul ula. High places for you are waiting. Just keep trying. Never give up trying. Okay? So the final little comments on this. This entire part about Jahannam and stuff like that, it could be the magicians are talking. It could be. But one discussion that one scholar had was, it's not clear that the magicians are talking. Because the magicians, where did they learn about Jahannam? And where did they learn about Jannah? They didn't. They never sat in a dars of Musa alayhi salam. How did they know about these things? It could just be Allah's talking. While the magicians are talking to Fir'aun and saying that Allah is the best and abaqa, he's everlasting, at that moment Allah Ta'ala starts to speak and starts to tell everybody, tells Quraysh, tells everyone, tells Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, everyone's listening now. Allah's telling us too, that look, anyone who comes as a criminal to Allah is Jahannam. Fir'aun will end up going to the fire. And Allah says, and it's for these magicians here, congratulations, what's waiting for them? Darajatul Ula. Allah is so happy. A lot of times what happens is what? When we make sacrifice, because these people made the ultimate sacrifice, really. When we make sacrifice, sometimes we feel like no one notices. No one even cares that I spent my entire night trying to worship, trying to do these things, trying to read a little bit more, trying to study. I do so much and no one even notices. And it feels like we're not rewarded for these things. But who's noticing every single time? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is noticing. The same way the magicians were talking and talking, and Allah was talking to the angels. Like, look at them. Look how proud I am. Sometimes we do all this effort and we're like, where does this effort go? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while this stuff is happening, He's talking to us at the same time. That's what we're learning here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq. It's not clear what exactly happened to the magicians. Does anyone know what happened to them? Did they die? We don't know. Did they live? Don't know. In the Quran, it's not clear. And for sure, it's not in the... I'm going to show you in like 1 or 2 minutes just what that is about what happened in the Old Testament. But it's important because why? It just... It's important because a lot of times what we decide is, what we say is, that, you know, oh, this person, he accepted Islam at the end, so it's important. Or like, it shows that we were successful. Or this person survived, so he's successful. You know, oh, this person died, so he's unsuccessful. Is that the way Muslims think? That, oh, this person died, so he's unsuccessful. This person lived, he's successful. Sumayya radiallahu anha passed away, was she unsuccessful? No, right? Bilal radiallahu anha survived, was he successful? That's for Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala decides, right? So a lot of times what happens is we're looking for, did he live or die? But that's not important to the story. Because at the end of the day, Allah Ta'ala was pleased, right? So it doesn't matter. A lot of times what happens with these Uyghur Muslims or any Muslims all over the world, they end up having a tragic end at the end, right? They end up dying a death of a martyr. But to us, that's a success. We're just, alhamdulillah, happy, right? We're like, at the end, it feels bad in our hearts, but we know, alhamdulillah, they're successful by Allah. That's the idea here. That Allah that left the end of magicians like just ambiguous, because you shouldn't care about that. Who cares if they lived or died? You know Allah that was pleased with them. That's the most important thing. Although some scholars have argued, and personally I do kind of like feel like it, that Allah that said Musa and his companions will be successful, so they might have gotten away. Allah knows best, no? Alright, so that's the main thing here. Okay? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq, inshallah. There are like a little couple of things, inshallah, that we'll do it next time because we're a little bit over time already. May Allah give us guidance and tawfiq, allow us to love the deen like the way these magicians love the deen. Allah allow us to experience these things on a very high level, inshallah ta'ala. Allah allow us that on the test that He gives us in this world, Allah make them easy for us. And Allah provide us with the kalima la ilaha Muhammad Rasulullah at the time of our deaths, inshallah, so that we reach the high places in Jannah. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam. Jazakum khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.